book of 2 Chronicles, we have the story of King Joash. This young man was only 7 years of age when he came to the throne. With the help and the encouragement and guidance of his uncle Jehoiada, who was the high priest, he emerged to be one of the great leaders for a period of time in Israel. In fact, he was able to remove some of the corruption that had existed for a long period of time and restore God's order to the land. The Bible says in verse 2 that he did that which was right in the eyes of Jehovah all the days of Jehoiada the priest. Notice carefully that it didn't say he did that which was right all the days of his life, but he only did that which was right all the days of the high priest, which implies that this man who was the high priest, his uncle Jehoiada, was a godly man who exerted a very powerful influence over his nephew. That powerful influence was such that it caused this young king to do what he should do and what was right. And that, I believe, introduces a very powerful thought that I want to share with you tonight, and that simply is the power of one man. Many of us have the idea tonight that we can never make a difference anywhere, and that we as an individual are limited in what we're able to do, and therefore we do nothing. It is amazing when you stop and consider the power of one person. I could mention several names tonight, all of which would bring to your mind horrible men who have done horrible things, men who, because of their own power, their own ingenuity, their own evil, their own sin, were able to wreak havoc upon the earth. Adolf Hitler is one example. A few years ago, none of us ever heard of Osama bin Laden, and yet the mere mention of his name tonight suggests evil. A very powerful man who has been able to turn the world upside down because of his misdeeds and his ungodliness. The Bible is filled with stories of good men who did good things. In fact, in the Old Testament, the Bible declares in chapter 6 that the earth was evil and wicked to the point that it repented God that he had made man. And yet then, amazingly, the Bible says Noah found grace in the eyes of God. In fact, Noah was a just man, even though the earth was corrupted, and even though men were evil, the Bible tells us that Noah was a good man. Because he found grace in the eyes of God, he and his family were spared. The human family was spared. Did you ever stop to think that had it not been for Noah, none of us might have been here tonight? There might not have been a world, for God would have destroyed it all simply because of the wickedness and sin that existed in the world. Well, the scriptures certainly commend good men and point out the fact that good men can make a difference in the lives of people, make a difference in the church, make a difference in their family. But you know, when you talk about the fact that a good man has power, you imply, even though you don't say it, that an evil man has just that much power. What a good man can do, an evil man can destroy. And just as surely as there are good men in the world who can make a difference, there are evil men who can do the same. We're introduced in the scriptures in the Old Testament to a man by the name of Achan, who brought sin and defeat into the camp of Israel and her army. God had declared that the spoils of war belonged to him and not to the victor. However, when Jericho was taken, the Bible tells us that Achan stole from the spoils of war. He took them for himself, an ingot of gold, and also some Babylonian garments, and hid them. When the children of Israel came to the city of Ai, instead of taking that city in victory, they were defeated. There was sin in the camp. Joshua asked the old question, why did all this happen? God said, there's sin in the camp, and until that is removed, I'm not going to bless you. Think about that. One man in his actions caused God to withdraw his blessings from the whole people, from the whole company of people. And God refused to bless them until they found that man, executed judgment upon that man, and once that was done, God's blessing returned. That's the power of an evil man. An evil man caused Israel to come to a standstill and the blessings of God to be withdrawn because of his evil. For a little while tonight, I want to talk to you about what a good man can accomplish. There are a lot of things a good man can accomplish. One good man can change the direction of an entire family. Abraham did. Abraham was just such a man as that. In fact, God said of him, for I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, and that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. You know what God said? God said, I know Abraham. I know the kind of man he is. I know his family will follow him, and I know he will lead them in the right direction. That's what a good man can do. A good woman can do that too. And there are many good men tonight who have led their families in the right direction. There are many good women tonight who, as godly mothers, have led their children and their families in the right direction, and they've made a powerful difference, not only in their lives, but in the lives of others as well. When Lot, his nephew, went bad, or pitched his tent towards Sodom, that worried Abraham. When it came to the point that God said, I'm going to have to destroy Sodom, Abraham's thought was about Lot. And he said, you're surely not going to destroy the good with the evil. Peradventure, if I can find so many righteous people there, will you spare it? Finally, he got God down to the number of 10. And God said, if you find 10 righteous people, I'll spare the city. That's how much God thought about Abraham. That's the power a good man had. He had power not only in his own family, but he had power with God. And when he pleaded with God to spare Sodom, if 10 righteous people could be found, God listened to him, and God was willing to honor that request. But not only can one good man change the direction of his family, one evil man can destroy a church. One man can tear up a church. One man can lead a church in the wrong direction. One man can introduce a church to error and sin. One man can lead a church in a way that they should never go. And I read about a man like that in 3 John verse 9 and 10. John said, I wrote somewhat unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, received the snuff. Therefore, if I come, I will call to mind his deeds, which he does, prating against us with malicious words. And not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren, and forbids those who wish to, putting them out of the church. Now, one man can tear a church up, and one man can lead a church in the wrong direction. One man can introduce false doctrine. One man can lead people to do things they should never do. One man can allow people to do things the Bible teaches they should not do and encourage them in that by telling them there's nothing wrong with it. Leaders of every congregation need to realize the power they possess. This unscrupulous and ambitious church boss opposed the apostolic authority of God's men and missionary work. He was a very powerful man. It's amazing when you stop and think about just what one person is able to do. What starts out little becomes large. What looks innocent to begin with becomes much greater as it grows and as we begin to realize what is happening. Many of us tonight have concluded that there's nothing we can do. Many of us tonight have concluded that we can't make a difference, and therefore there's no reason to try. I want to challenge you tonight to question that thinking, because I believe every person in this audience tonight is a very powerful person. I believe you have influence. I believe you have power. If you use it in the right way, it's wonderful what you can accomplish. If you use it in the wrong way, it's horrible to think about what the consequences are going to be. Many times we sit around and say, well, I couldn't make any difference. Nobody will listen to me anyway. Well, you don't know that. Someone may listen to you, and even if they don't, you have the obligation to say it anyway. You have the obligation to lead. You have the obligation to do what God wants you to do. I'm going to mention a name tonight. Many of you will recognize that name. 100 years ago, people never would have thought this man had the power that he did. His name was Grover Cleveland Brewer. He got the idea early in his preaching career that there was something unsanitary about people drinking out of a common cup. There was a denominational practice that had begun to be used and was accepted by many of the denominations, although many of them rejected it as well. But he wanted to introduce that innovation into the Church of Jesus Christ. He realized there would be opposition because no churches were using it at that time. He found one cohort, C. Hope, who lived over in Florence, Alabama, and they together began to contrive as to how they could get churches to adopt the use of individual drinking vessels in the observance of the Lord's Supper. In his book, 40 Years on the Firing Line, he said, I think that I was the first preacher to ever introduce that idea, and the first church was the Central Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee, for which I was preaching at that time. Now, it's amazing as I look back on that almost just 100 years ago how powerful that man was. It would have been hard for anybody to believe in 1915 he would be able to get that innovation into all the congregations throughout the United States. Today, the majority of people who worship in those churches never heard of using a single cup for the distribution of the fruit of the vine. In fact, the practice has become so widespread and so commonly accepted that people don't think anything about it. But that's not the end of this story. There was a roadblock in Mr. Brewer's way, Brother Brewer's way. There was a roadblock in Brother Holt's way. And that roadblock was David Lipscomb. Because David Lipscomb didn't believe in individual cups. He believed the argument on sanitation was a foolish argument. And so he'd always renounced and rejected that. These two men knew that they could never be successful in introducing their innovation unless they did something with this one man. This one man stood in their path. And so they visited him, and they got him to agree that even though he didn't like the idea, and even though he felt the argument they were using about sanitation was foolish, he wouldn't go so far as to think that it was sinful. Now let me give you a direct quote. One of these men said, "We've got to get that in print. David Lipscomb is an old man. David Lipscomb's going to die. And if we don't get that in print, people are not going to believe that." The power of that one man could have stopped that innovation, at least temporarily. But he caved in. He had the power to make a decision. He had the power to say no and stand with what the Scripture said, or he could do something else, and that's what he did. As a result, the Bible says that they were introduced and churches began to adopt them. Now, I want to say this about innovations. You know, these men were not content to introduce the individual cups into the church at Chattanooga and forget about it. They wanted to introduce them into every church. And that's what every innovator wants to do. A lot of times people say, well, you know, don't be concerned about that church. They will keep that doctrine to themselves, or they will keep their ways to themselves. Don't you ever kid yourself. The very nature of the situation is to grow the innovation. And that innovation is going to grow, and that innovation is going to spread. And that's where the power of one man comes into play. That's where, as members of the body of Christ, we have the obligation of standing up for what is right. As a group of people, we've been doing that for a long time now. And we've been looked down upon by a lot of people because we did that. In fact, we have brethren who were driven from their own buildings. We have brethren who built buildings that they had to leave, that they were locked out of. I've known personally brethren who were locked out of their buildings and they had to go somewhere else. And this idea that has recently been floated, that everybody who opposes the divisions are the ones who cause the division, nothing could be farther from the truth. Nothing could be farther from the truth. Standing up for what is right never causes a division. Standing up for what the Bible teaches doesn't cause a division. The division was caused in the church when brethren were driven out of a meeting house where they could no longer scripturally worship God. The power of one man is simply this. One man in any congregation can either lead that congregation in the wrong direction or in the right direction. And it's our obligation as members of the body of Christ, as leaders in churches, to stand up for what's right and to give no ground. And anytime we reach the point that we decide the battle is already lost, or anytime we reach the conclusion that I can't make a difference and I can't do anything about it, we're wrong. You can make a difference. Every person in this audience tonight not only can make a difference, they have to make up their mind they're going to make a difference. They're going to stand up for the truth. They're going to stand up for what is right. Abraham had to make that difference. Noah had to make that difference. I can imagine that Noah could easily have said, there is absolutely no reason for me to try to fight this. The whole world is going to be lost. However, Noah continued to live the kind of life that was pleasing in the sight of God. And I want to say to all these young people here tonight, listen, you can make a difference as an individual. You do not have to succumb to the sin prevalent around you. You don't have to pattern your life like everybody else. You don't have to follow the path other people are following. You can make a difference. And the power of your influence will cause other people to do what's right. The power of your influence will cause other people to stand up for right as well. Don't ever underestimate yourself. Don't ever underestimate your ability. Don't ever underestimate the power you have to be a Christian example, to be a standard bearer for the Lord and for His church.